Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
If you have a Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 14. So how many of you have ever walked on water? Raise your hand. Well, there are basically, you know, two reasons why somebody might not walk on water. One would be because you have not said yes to Jesus. And then the other might be because you have aquaphobia, which is fear of water. One summer night, during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed, and she was about to turn the light off when her son asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." Have you ever felt the Lord asking you to do something, but if you said yes, then it would make you leave your comfort zone? It would stretch you as a believer and even test your faith against the very laws of nature. You know, sometimes fear prevents us from stepping out in faith. Well, this morning in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31, I want to talk about saying yes to Jesus and stepping out of the boat. I'll do this by looking at four verses in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, speaking to Jesus. Verse 29, saying yes to Jesus. Verse 30, seeing opposition to Jesus. And verse 31, seeking help from Jesus. So Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, let's go ahead and read the text. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 28, then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Verse 29, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Verse 30, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Verse 31, so Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Well, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus put the disciples into a boat and sent the boat to the other side of Lake Galilee. Jesus went up on top of a mountain to pray, and when he had finished, he came down off the mountain at nighttime, and he walked on the water, seeing the little boat with the disciples in it being tossed to and fro from a powerful storm. We all know that the disciples were gripped with fear because they thought that they had saw a ghost. And in verse 26, it states, they cried out in fear. And Jesus stated in verse 27, "Do not be afraid." So let's pick up the rest of the story here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, speaking to Jesus. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." So first, who is Peter? Well, Peter is one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He was part of a closer circle of disciples, as we see throughout the Gospels, that usually mentions Peter, James, and John. So Peter was a stout fisherman, strong and courageous, but at the same time, tends to make decisions irrationally and quick to judge. The first thing I like about this passage is that Peter said, "Lord." First thing Peter said was, "Lord." This is a great example of being in such a close relationship with God that you're willing to obey anything that God asks. Lord denotes ruler, master, king over you. And Peter recognizes that and accepts it. What about you? Do you recognize and accept that Jesus is both Lord over your life and Lord in your life? Do you have such a close relationship with God that you're willing to do anything that God asks of you? If God asks you to be a missionary to, say, Kentucky, would you do it? So the first step in knowing what Jesus would have you to do is to speak to him. That's called prayer. Ask questions of God. Ask questions of Jesus. Lord, what do you want me to do? I hear he is smarter than Wikipedia. Ask him questions. Say yes to Jesus and step out of the boat. Verse 29, saying yes to Jesus. The text reads, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. Now, I really love this about Peter. It makes a stark contrast between him and the other 11 disciples who are still in the boat. You see, while Peter took a step out in faith, the other 11 disciples didn't. They stayed in the boat. And all 11 of the other disciples should have been saying, "Me too, me too, me too. I want to come, Jesus." But they didn't. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is defined as evidence of things unseen. It's evidence, something tangible, something that you can see, action that is seen. So what's the point of this? The point is that Peter saw an opportunity to draw closer to God as he took a step out in faith, even though it goes against all logic. It goes against all rationale. It goes against all common sense. It goes against all laws of nature to walk on water. Yet he trusted God for a miracle, even his very life, by walking on the water. That is faith in action. That is evidence seen. Abraham trusted God to provide a sacrifice even to the very last second when he was offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself a sacrifice." So Abraham spoke to God, took a step out in faith, and watched God perform a miracle by providing a substitute lamb for the sacrifice instead of his son at the very last moment. That is, taking a step out of the boat, taking a step in faith, and watching God do a miracle. Are there any other examples in Scripture that point to stepping out in faith? Well, there are two big main ones. One is from Exodus chapter 14, which we'll take a look in a second. And then the other one is from Daniel. So if you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 to 31. We'll take a look at the story of when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt in the Exodus, and Pharaoh and his soldiers are chasing after them. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, we pick up the story, and it says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them, to their right hand and to their left. And the Egyptians pursued them and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." Exodus chapter 14, verse 24. "Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through a pillar of fire and a cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.'" Verse 26, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen.' And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots. the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Verse 29, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. Verse 30, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw a great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What a great example of taking a step out of faith. Because when we look at this story, Moses put his hands over the water and the waters receded and the ground became dry and the children of Israel walked, took that step out into that dry land. That was a step of faith. And even as they're in the middle of it, because it took like all night, it says in the morning he finished and the water came back down. So it was a long journey. Even in the middle of that, they're still walking on dry ground. They're still actively using their faith. That is a great example. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 2, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. Verse 2, when you passed through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, and they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Direct reference to this event in Exodus. Habakkuk talks about it as well in 3 verse 15. He says, you walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. What a great example of faith, taking a step out and watching God perform an awesome miracle, something that we obviously cannot do on our own. But by us taking a step out in faith, God does something awesome through it. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, if you want to turn there. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, Daniel. In the book of Daniel, it tells a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in Isaiah, it talks about walking through fire. This passage deals with that specifically as well. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, we pick up the story and it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave a command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are three boys that were during the same time of Daniel when they were taken captivity. When Babylon took the nation of Israel into captivity. And these are three of them. They're good friends with Daniel. So they brought these men before the king. King Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all the music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, then good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And I love this response by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So here is their faith being activated. They have a faith in God, and when questioned, they took a step out of that boat and said, we believe in God, and no matter what happens, we're going to stay faithful to that. And as a result, King Nebuchadnezzar, in his anger, threw them into the fiery furnace, and they did not burn. In fact, King Nebuchadnezzar said, wait, I see four people in there. I thought I threw in three. And he said, the fourth is like the Son of God. And in the middle of their trial and tribulation, God was with them. And God delivered them out of that fiery furnace, unburnt. Not even fabric on their clothes was singed. That was a miracle of God. And I like that because it shows that God performs a miracle. It's not like I do something, not like I can prevent fire from burning me. If I do something that I feel the Lord has called me to do and it's successful, people don't look at me and say, wow, Dave, you're awesome, you're cool, wow, I can't imagine, how did you do that? No, they're like, they look at me and say, man, God must have done that because you couldn't have, Dave. But I like that because that gives God the glory. That says that God is the one who is working in and through me. And that's awesome when he receives the glory. That's how it should be. So both the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during the Babylonian Empire demonstrated their faith in extreme cases. Now, we may never see those type of situations in our lifetime. But the application and the principle is the same. Listen and obey to the will of God. And when he says yes, take a step out of that boat and activate your faith. You see, faith is not saying yes to Jesus. Let me say that again. Faith is not saying yes to Jesus. Anybody can give a lip service, meaning anybody can say something and not really mean it, right? I remember when I was a prayer counselor at Harvest Crusades in California. There was a guy who came down to receive the Lord, and he told me that it was his 10th time. He was just giving lip service the other 9 times. He had not truly committed to his verbal affirmation that he previously made. Faith is not defined as giving in, or giving up, or quitting, or changing your mind, or compromising, or failing. Faith is saying yes, and then proving it by taking a step out in it. Remember, faith is the evidence of things unseen. It's evidence, it's tangible, it's something, it's action that you can see. That is where belief is made real. That is where the rubber meets the road. That is where your verbal conviction is confirmed by your outward actions. You move it from imagination to actualization, action made real. Let me say that again. You move it from imagination, something that's in your head and you think about and you agree and you mow over, and you move it into actualization, something that is real, tangible. James speaks of this. In James chapter 2, if you wanted to turn there, James chapter 2, verse 14, and he talks about this faith in action, this works. He says, James chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which they are in need of for the body, then what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And we just read that passage. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? By works, faith was made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by the works when she received the messenger and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And Paul speaks about this faith and works dilemma. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship. We are Christ's workmanship. We are God's workmanship when we put our trust and faith in God. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Another great example is Senior Pastor Patrick and the missionary team going to Kentucky. You see, they prayed if this was what Jesus would have them to do. And they sensed Jesus saying yes. So they put actions to their verbal commitment. And they are going to serve and minister to the down and out, the poor, the lost, the homeless, the abused, the dysfunctional, and the outcasts of society, to show the love of Jesus and how Jesus can pull them through the storms of life. You see, this is not an example of failure on Peter's part, and also it's not an example of failure on the part of the other 11 disciples who are still in the boat. Why? Because you cannot fail at something you are not called to do or set out to do. Let me give you an example here. You cannot say that I'm a failure at being a missionary to another country. First off, I'm not called to be a missionary to another country. I'm not called to go to Madagascar and be a missionary there. So you can't say, well, Dave, you're a failure. You're not a missionary. Well, not my calling. I cannot be a failure at something I'm not called to do. I do not have the desire to go to Madagascar, and I do not have a goal in my life to accomplish that. Besides, I have my own missionary at home with 5 kids. So at what point do the other 11 disciples still in the boat say, hey, if Peter can do it, so can I. Peter is the one who is exemplifying great faith here. He is demonstrating what faith in action looks like. The physical act of stepping out of the boat, saying yes, Jesus, and doing it. Okay, so now it's time for some verbal exercises. Some verbal exercises. On a count of 3, I want everyone to say, yes, Jesus. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yes, Jesus. All right, so now you cannot say that your pastor never taught you how to say, yes, Jesus. So when you're praying and you feel Jesus telling you to do something, say, yes, Jesus, and then take a step out in faith and go do it. Let's take a look at verse 30. Turn back there, Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. This is seeing opposition to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. That was Peter speaking. So verse 30 shows us that reality sometimes smacks us right upside the head. When the waves of reality says, hello, you're walking on water, that's not normal. You're going to sink and drown. We need to expect opposition from this world. Satan does not want you to be effective for the kingdom of God, where God will receive the glory. And in fact, he will do whatever he can to thwart the plans of God. And if you're in the way, you're a target. This world is against you. And not only from the spiritual opposition, but also from the physical laws of a fallen and cursed world. But we also get opposition from our friends and family members and coworkers when they say, dude, you're insane. You can't do that. You're gonna fail. Well, if Jesus calls you out and you say yes, then you need to put your faith in action no matter what the world may think. Because when it comes to fruition, others will see a miracle. Just like Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So when people see me doing something good, they don't say, wow, Dade, you're awesome. No, they say, wow, God is awesome. Look what God is doing through Dade. There is another opposition to Jesus, and that is you. The New Living Translation uses the word terrified, which I read, but the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New International Version uses the word afraid, while the New American Standard Bible uses the word frightened. But all of these words are translation of the Greek word phobio. It's where we get our English word phobia or fear. A phobia is a type of anxiety disorder, usually defined as a persistent fear of an object or situation in which the sufferer commits to great lengths in avoiding, typically disproportional to the actual danger itself, often being recognized as irrational. So here are some phobias you may or may not be familiar with. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this one, arachnophobia, fear of spiders. I know my kids are. They're constantly coming to me, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, a spider downstairs," and then I got to go do my daddy duty. Go downstairs and kill the spider. Or what about this one? Many people in Kansas probably has this. Lelapsophobia, which is a fear of tornadoes. And then when there's a lot of rain, there's antlophobia, which is fear of floods. And if you live in Transylvania, you may have sanguivorophobia, which is fear of vampires. Or if you work for NASA, you might have xenophobia, which is fear of extraterrestrial aliens. Now, I thought this one was very interesting. How about this? Turophobia, fear of cheese. Does anybody have fear of cheese? Have you even heard of anybody with fear of cheese? So are you afraid that if you say yes to Jesus, that you might have to step out of the boat and into the water? Do you have aquaphobia, fear of water? Astrophobia, fear of thunder and lightning? Or panphobia, fear of everything? You need to cast off your fear and trust in the Lord. God knows that fear can cause you to not act on that which He is calling you to do. In fact, that is why God tells us to fear not. In the King James Bible, fear not is listed 144 times. He knows that we have fears because He created us with them. But that fear should drive us to depend upon and trust in Jesus. So say yes to Jesus and step out of the boat. Finally, verse 31, seeking help from Jesus. Verse 31 reads, "Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said, 'why did you doubt me?'" So verse 31, you spoke to Jesus, you stepped out in faith, and then started listening to the storms of life, to the opposition forces that want to thwart any good work of God in your life. And now you feel like you're sinking, like you are over your head in this opportunity that God has given you. And now the only thing left is to call out to Jesus to save you. And well, you should. Jesus said that Peter had a little faith. A little faith. Not no faith, but a little faith. You see, little faith is better than no faith at all. When you start to concentrate on the problems and the circumstances you are in, then your attention is not on Jesus, and your faith will falter. But if you can believe that God created something out of nothing, as stated in Genesis 1:1, then have faith in Jesus to accomplish what He has called you to do and you said yes to. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So say yes to Jesus and step out of that boat. So where are you? Where do you find yourself today? Are you lacking in any faith at all to even ask Jesus to get out of the boat? Are you unsure what to say and how to say it when you're in prayer to Jesus? Are you fearful that Jesus may say yes to what you ask for? Are you looking to somebody else to see what happens with them before you exercise your faith? like we see with the 11 disciples still in the boat watching Peter. Don't get left in the boat. Don't let fear prevent you from being effective for the kingdom of God. Don't miss out on a great work that the Lord may have for you this coming year. And don't miss out on the blessing of fulfilling God's call on your life. With the new year coming, ask Jesus to call you out of the boat. Say yes to Jesus and take a step out of that boat in faith. And see what miracle lies on the other side of obedience to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would have a faith even as little as a mustard seed to say yes to you in all that you ask and request, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear what your Spirit says to us. And when we ask, Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? And you say yes. Lord, help us have a faith to take a step out and just do it for your kingdom, for your glory, for your honor, that you may receive it, Lord. God, we love you, but we also need your help, Lord. So, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to empower us, equip us, give us the strength, grow our faith, that it may grow from a mustard seed to a giant tree bearing fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, Lord, for your kingdom. Use us mightily this coming year, Father. Help us to use our faith to take a step out of the boat and do something awesome for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.